Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the space shuttle's earned its place in history and it's come to a final stop.
After 30 years, you just heard it. NASA's final shuttle has landed. Atlantis touched down just minutes ago, and now the shuttle program is over. We want to check in with Clara Moskowitz again, senior writer for space.com. She's in Cape Canaveral. You know, the landing or takeoff of a shuttle is always an exciting event. Clara, was this one different?
You know, it was and it wasn't. Sometimes when you see such an amazing event, you almost can't separate it from the significance. It just takes a while for that to sink in, and you're just so astounded by your senses, seeing this, you know, hearing the sonic booms, which are so loud that it makes you jump, and then seeing this amazing spacecraft that you realize was orbiting around the planet just an hour ago is now, you know, gliding to this graceful stop in front of you. I don't even know if it's possible to encompass everything that means at the moment that it's happening.
That's Clara Moskowitz, senior writer for space.com. She's in Cape Canaveral. Difficult to see the space shuttle at this moment since it's still pre-dawn hours there in Florida. Clara, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Richard Heeb also joins us this morning, a former NASA astronaut. Heeb threw three missions on the shuttle program between 1991 and 1994. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning.
So, I mean, this moment has to be an emotional one for you. You were watching the touchdown of the spatial Atlantis and the glide to that final stop?
Absolutely. You know, the combination of emotions of pride in what America accomplished and all the people involved in this program, their friends, their family, and none of this would have been possible without the thousands of people that said, this is something that I'm going to make work. And they did. And here we are, 135 missions later.
You know, Rick, you're part of a very exclusive fraternity of people who, and sorority for that matter, of people who have flown this vehicle. Can you give us a sense of the details of what it's like? Is the seat comfortable? What's it smell like inside? What's it sound like? What are the impressions, the sort of sensory memories that you're going to take with you?
You know, the difference between launch and landing is obviously pretty significant. Launch, you're laying on your back. It's not particularly comfortable. You're wearing a flight suit with heavy gear. It's generally pretty hot in the flight suit. And, you know, minutes before takeoff, I think oftentimes we're kind of trying to think of somewhat clever things to say to one another to break the tension a little bit. But when you listen back to the tapes, you don't sound very... don't sound very funny. Your voice sounds a little bit tight. And during the launch, it's a pretty rough ride, especially the first couple of minutes with the solid rockets burning. You're shaking around quite a bit. I liken it to driving over a lot of railroad tracks a little bit too fast.
And you're tense during takeoff because the takeoff and the landing are the two most dangerous parts. Actually, flying in space is relatively safe, right, Richard?
Absolutely true. And you know, of course, it's perception, whatever you're perceiving at the time. And during takeoff, there's not that much for the crew to do, which, you know, you're monitoring the instruments. The flight crew are ready to start flying should they need to. But for the most part, you're riding and, you know, having something to do actually helps you. So you focus on your job. It takes your mind off the fact that you are riding on, you know, a vehicle that's really at the cutting edge of technology still today after all these years. Those engines are operating at the very edge of the limit of materials and science.
Richard Heeb is a former NASA astronaut, flew three missions on the shuttle program between 1991 and 1994. So, Richard, you saw the beginning of the space shuttle program. And I wonder, number one, if you thought you would see the end of it. And number two, if the space shuttle program has done what you thought it would do.
You know, I was pretty young when we started. I was a baby engineer sitting in the control center in Houston for the first launch. I really thought that we'd be on our way to Mars by now. So, and of course, you can't do that with the space shuttle. We recognize that the space shuttle was really a truck for hauling things to and from low Earth orbit. What I think we probably didn't appreciate at that time was the cost of doing business in space. It's so large that you really can't have a whole multitude of programs flying at the same time and still operate within the budget that NASA is allotted by the government.
NASA says it's $450 million per mission. So that sounds like you're saying that in ending the space shuttle program, that frees up those funds to move on to things like Mars.
Yeah, I think most of us would like it better if we had an overlap between the shuttle flying and another American vehicle to go fly in space. You know, that's the sort of thing that you do in industry. But in order to do that, you have to have a significant increase in funding to cover both the current operation and then developing the next one at the same time. And typically with government programs, that's very, very hard to accomplish.
As people watch the space shuttle, there's been a lot of talk recently that people haven't really appreciated the space shuttle program as they have, that there hasn't been the attention for each takeoff and landing that perhaps it deserves. So I wonder, just speaking to the American people today, what do you want them to remember about the space shuttle program?
You know, this program, like just about everything worth doing, required dedication, hard work, passion on the part of all the people involved. You see the flight crew, you see the folks in Mission Control, you don't see the literally hundreds of thousands of people, the technicians turning their wrenches. I would want people to recognize this as a human triumph. These are real people. These vehicles reflect the efforts and the love, really, of the people that made it happen day after day after day. That's what I hope they would recognize.
Richard Heeb, former NASA astronaut, flew three missions on the shuttle program. Richard, the crew of Atlantis is bringing home a small American flag with them that flew in the 1981 debut flight of Columbia. And they've promised that that's going to fly aboard the first flight that goes to Mars or maybe to an astronaut. That suggests that astronauts feel a continuity here.
Absolutely. Among the crew, every one of us, I think, at one time thought, the people flying now for sure felt they were probably too young to be the first folks to go to Mars. Now we're sort of thinking we're too old to be the first folks to go to Mars. But it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. I think we all have the commitment that we're going to make that trip, just like everyone else in this case. Now we'll make it in hearts and minds with the folks that do go there.
Richard Heeb, a former astronaut. He flew on three missions during the space shuttle program. Now a VP at Lockheed Martin. He flew on three missions between 1991 and 1994. Richard Heeb, thank you so much.
You bet.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.